Volunteers are essential to the Crisis Center of West Texas, CRT, and provide essential response services to survivors of domestic and sexual violence immediately after an assault occurs. Volunteers are required by the Texas Attorney General to complete a training course and 10 hours of shadowing. This course will cover the dynamics of sexual and domestic violence, trauma-informed care, and other tools that will help you support survivors. Members of the CRT volunteer for overnight and weekend shifts based on your availability on a rotating basis. To volunteer, complete application online at tinyurl.com/3DBFRA8S. For more information, email Elizabeth Texera at elizabeth@ccwtx.org. Auditions. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled auditions for orchestra positions, principal flute, and principal viola. To apply, for instructions or more information, visit www.mosc.org/musicians/orchestra/auditions.html. Funding proposals. The United Way of Odessa is requesting proposals for 2021-22 Community Impact Funding. Funding is open to nonprofit 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area who provide services in the areas of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To be considered for funding, funding proposals must be received by April 1st. To request an application or to request further information, contact Christina Escobar at cescobar@unitedwayodessa.org. United Way of Odessa financially supports 22 local agencies and 33 service programs. To learn more about the United Way of Odessa, call 432-332-0941. Temporary Inflation by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. He blogs at www.themarketperspective.com. Quote from the Associated Press. Fed Chair Jerome Powell announced that any inflation is temporary. No need for the Fed to alter its low interest rate policy. The Dow Industrials dropped 600 plus points, and the 10-year Treasury yield surged over 1.5% in response. Crude oil prices surged over $2. Ralph Nelson Elliott created his Elliott Wave Theory in the 1930s. It is a model of social behavior with a three steps one way and two the other structure. The psychology of market moves plays out in this fashion. Whatever the market, stock or crude oil prices, or in this case interest rates, the move begins from, in this case, a 40-year low. Wave one is a surprise, and the majority reject the notion that a trend change is underway. Wave two pulls back from the new high. This allows the doubters to say, "I told you so." Then wave three eliminates all doubt by charging to a new high. Wave four usually alternates between wave two. If two were strong, four will likely be sideways. The final move is a wave five to a new high. Chairman Powell is denying we are in a wave one of higher interest rates. This morning, crude oil has risen another $1.84, and the 10-year yield is 1.58%. Mortgage rates have pushed over 3%. fundamentally, this is no surprise. The Democrats are on a spending spree that would make Lyndon Johnson blush. Little noticed is a Congressional Budget Office estimate. The CBO estimates the national debt will be 200% of GDP by 2050. I don't put a lot of stock in 30-year predictions, but that prediction surely springs from the fact that for the first time since the end of World War II, total debt is 102% of GDP right now. The CBO estimate does not include the $1.9 trillion bill likely to pass the Senate next week, and Team Biden plans to plow $9 billion into minority communities. This is an echo of Lyndon's Model Cities program. Model Cities spent lots of money hiring bureaucrats, but never turned any city into a model. The XLE Energy ETF is up $1.45. Goldman Sachs sees Brent crude at $75 this year. Looks like that will occur sooner than most think. But don't expect the price rises to be temporary. The Economist. What Went Wrong? By M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group and distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. What went wrong with the Texas power grid during the recent extreme weather event? Everything, but it's complicated. One key issue is that Texas homes, buildings, and power infrastructures are geared toward dealing with the issue that we most often face, heat. Whether for an individual, homeowner, or a society, the decision regarding how much to spend on protecting from cold involves an assessment of the costs, benefits, and likelihood of extreme weather. As the recent historic freeze blanketed Texas, about 40% of generation capacity went offline as demand surged. Wind turbines froze and stopped working. Natural gas-fired generation initially increased, as did coal, but weather ultimately caused issues with these facilities as well. Some gas wells and pipelines were affected, and generators, which often purchase gas through interruptible contracts, were competing for supply with the natural gas directly used to warm about 35% of Texas homes. Given the vast resources in the state, a natural gas shortage is particularly difficult to stomach. Moreover, turbines, conventional power plants, gas wells, and pipelines routinely function under frigid conditions elsewhere, but winterization practices in Texas were clearly insufficient. Another issue is that much of Texas is an island when it comes to its power grid, not connected to other parts of the country. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, is tasked with ensuring peak demand can be met, yet the grid was apparently minutes away from catastrophic failure. The state certainly has the energy resources to meet its needs many times over, but choosing to go it alone brings a responsibility to set up and assure a secure power system. Placing all blame on wind energy ignores the benefits in the form of both zero emissions and lower electricity prices for Texans during much of the year. Hydrocarbon-fueled generation plants are also not the culprit, and they will remain essential to ensuring adequate capacity until at least the point when the power supply storage limitations are fully resolved. When the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, renewables are not producing power, and conventionally fueled generation must be sufficient to meet demands. Texas' relatively more competitive power market has fostered lower prices than would otherwise have been in place, and more choices for Texas consumers. We have studied this issue several times. However, the recent problems have clearly illustrated some shortcomings with the structure that must be addressed. When the historic freeze led to an all-time peak winter power demand, the grid was not up to the task, and millions of Texans suffered. Pointing fingers isn't helpful, but better oversight and thoughtful tweaks to the current market platform can help to prevent another cataclysmic failure. More on that later. Stay safe. Obituaries for Sunday, March 7th. Travis Alton Hatcher. Travis Alton Hatcher passed away February 25th. The youngest of two children, he was born July 7th, 1975, in Odessa, to Alton Curtis Hatcher and Susan Marie Scowden Hatcher. He married Lacey Hatcher in 2006. Travis is survived by his wife, Lacey, six sons, Forrest Randall and wife, Krista, Perrin Hatcher, Eric Menzel, Ashton Wilson, Caden Wilson, and Brighton Peanut Hatcher. Two grandchildren, his parents, Alton and Susan Hatcher, a sister, Delina Sellard, his mother and father-in-law, Robert and Joy Logue, brother and sister-in-law Justin and Christy Ferris, brother and sister-in-law Robert and Lucille Payne, as well as several aunts, uncles, great-nephews, and many cousins. He is preceded in death by his grandparents, Leon Eugene and Eleanor Scowden, Curtis and Elsie Hatcher, several uncles, and one grandson. Visitation was held Monday, March 8th, at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A celebration of life will be held March 9th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home, with Johnny Touchstone officiating. Carl Raymond Denton. Carl Raymond Denton passed away February 20th at Medical Center Hospital. He was born July 3rd, 1959, in Midland, to Vida Holiday Denton and Carl J. Denton. He was raised in Odessa. Carl was preceded in death by his brother Jim and his parents, Vida and Carl. Memorial services will be held at Sherwood Church of Christ in Odessa, Saturday, March 13th at 10 a.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Death notices. Rosemary Cruz Chacon. Rosemary Cruz Chacon, 54, of Odessa, died Friday, February 26th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday at March 11th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Rose Hill Section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rhonda Henderson. Rhonda Henderson, 52, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 4th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Schaefer Funeral Home, San Angelo. Nalida Florencia Trudy Hostetter. Nalida Florencia Trudy Hostetter, 93, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 24th. A graveside service is scheduled for 9 a.m. Tuesday, March 9th at the Odessa Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Daniel Pickett. Daniel Pickett, 48, of Monahans, died Monday, March 1st. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Sulima Rodriguez Valencia. Sulima Rodriguez Valencia, 59, of Odessa, died Monday, March 1st, in Lubbock. Mass was celebrated Monday, March 8th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment followed at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery. A rosary preceded the funeral service at 7 p.m. Sunday evening, with Father Fernando Bonilla officiating. Arrangements by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Start with trust. BBB serving the heart of Texas tip, preparing for disaster. By Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. In February 2021, an unprecedented winter storm swept through Texas, resulting in federal action declaring the state a disaster zone. Residents experienced extended power and water outages. Homeowners faced water damage from burst pipes, and some found their food supply running low. Because severe winter weather is rare in Texas, few were ready to handle the storm. Now, Texans are wondering how to stay prepared for the future. READY is a federal campaign partnered with the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, aimed at educating Americans on responding to emergencies, including natural disasters. The campaign suggests creating a family emergency plan, building a supply kit, and taking action to help your community stay prepared. Plan ahead using these tips from READY and your Better Business Bureau. Create a plan. Take time to create a disaster plan with your family and ask important questions to assess your preparedness. How will you receive emergency alerts? Where will you shelter? Do you have an evacuation route planned? Is your disaster kit stocked? Build a kit. Having plenty of supplies can help you better navigate an emergency situation. A disaster kit should include a 3-day supply of drinking water, 1 gallon per family member per day, non-perishable food, flashlights and batteries, medications, and any important documents. Keep these items in a sealed container that can protect them from water or fire. Stay safe. In the extreme cold, Texans searched for ways to stay warm without power. Unfortunately, many suffered carbon monoxide poisoning after running their cars in a closed garage. Remember, if you decide to use your car for heat, do so in an open area. You should also take time to learn the signs of hypothermia and its basic treatments, such as warming the center of your body first. Do your research. If you are anticipating severe weather, gather information to save valuable time during or after the disaster. You will want to locate your home's main water shutoff valve in case you need to cut off water after a pipe bursts. Reach out to your insurance agent to review what your policy covers if your home is damaged during the storm. And visit BBB.org to create a list of trustworthy plumbers, contractors, and tree services near you. Knowing who to call ahead of time can help the recovery process run smoothly. For more information on disaster preparedness, visit ready.gov. You can find trustworthy professionals at bbb.org. Odessa Police Department welcomes 11 new recruits by Royal McGregor. Though she had been anticipating the graduation ceremony for the 21st session of the Odessa Police Academy, 28-year-old Annette Rios said she finally relaxed after her father pinned her badge. There were 11 newly minted officers welcomed to the Odessa Police Department. Rios said it was special, the 11 recruits that started the 21st session all graduated together. The graduation ceremony took place Friday afternoon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. There were family, friends, and members of the police department in attendance. "We were all very proud," Rio said. "We've become a family. We made a promise to each other that we all go in and we all come out. We were definitely proud. We held to that." Of the 11 newly minted officers, 6 were born and raised in Odessa, while 2 graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in Midland. The other 3 graduates were from Del Rio, Miami, and Baghdad, Iraq. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke told the Odessa American after the graduation ceremony that he hopes those officers not only begin their respective careers at OPD, but end their careers 25 to 30 years later at OPD. The people from Odessa and the people from this region wanting to stay in West Texas and serve the community that their family lives in means a lot, Gerke said. That shows a commitment on their part. One of the graduates born and raised in Odessa is 24-year-old Elizardo Vasquez. Vasquez graduated from NewTek Odessa in 2015. Prior to becoming an officer at OPD, Vasquez was a jailer at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center and then was an armed security officer. Vasquez says he knew he wanted to become a licensed peace officer in Texas before he began his law enforcement career as a jailer. I grew up here in Odessa, and I really wanted to do my part for the community, Vasquez said. I really looked up to law enforcement, so that was something that I wanted to do since I was a kid. The new 11 officers have to participate in field training that takes about 4 months to complete. Rio said she's excited about going on patrol, but she knows it's going to be different than learning in the classroom. Instructors really drilled us that it's going to be different, she said. We are going to be dealing with a huge variety of people. We are going to have to roll with the punches. Odessa Police Academy 21st Session graduates. Lenya Alonso, 39, Miami. Jody Bear, 34, Odessa. Tyler Bullard, 22, Odessa. Jocelyn Chapa, 28, Del Rio. Salman Marawani, 30, Baghdad, Iraq. Dalton McSweeney, 23, Midland. Michael Miller Jr., 21, Odessa. Annette Rios, 28, Midland. Felipe Rodarte, 31, Odessa. Bailey Thurman, 21, Odessa. Elizardo Vasquez, 24. Odessa. Program helps students learn business skills by Ruth Campbell. With a view toward updating its entrepreneurship program, University of Texas Permian Basin is offering all students a chance to test their business acumen. Recently, the Blackstone Charitable Foundation announced the expansion of its signature Blackstone Launchpad student entrepreneurship programming from 2 to 8 campuses in the University of Texas system, bringing the initiative's network and resources to a more diverse set of students. The $5 million expansion will give even more students access to resources, opportunities, and mentorship at UT El Paso, UT Permian Basin, UT Rio Grande Valley, UT San Antonio, UT Medical Branch, and UT Southwestern. UT Austin and UT Dallas have been launchpad sites since 2016. With 4 of the 6 campuses included in this expansion designated Hispanic Serving Institutions, HSIs, Launchpad doubles the number of HSIs in its network, demonstrating a commitment to increasing inclusion in student entrepreneurship, a news release said. Ryan Peckham, Assistant Professor of Management and Roden Fellow for Entrepreneurship, said there are 26 students in the program. We have so many initiatives going on, Peckham said. That includes the Blackstone deal, which you heard about, which is a new initiative for us. Also, we're looking at redoing some of the entrepreneurship minor and also offering an entrepreneurship certificate. Peckham said UTPB wanted to be able to give students who aren't necessarily business majors a chance to take advantage of all of the entrepreneurship offerings. The Blackstone Initiative allows us to do that because that is open to everybody on campus, not just business majors, Peckham said. He noted that Blackstone is providing funding a network and resources that UTPB otherwise would not have access to without their support. Without it, we just wouldn't have access to the network of other business owners that they have, mentors that they have, funding that they have. We do a lot of virtual programming that students have been able to attend. It's just trying to get students interested in owning their own, maybe operating their own business, because unfortunately this generation of students is less likely to open their own business than students in the past, Peckham said. He was an adjunct professor teaching management and some finance courses. Personally, I like it because entrepreneurship is the only business major that uses all the other majors together. So you have to use accounting, you have to use marketing, you have to use management, and you have to use finance. If you're going to be a business owner, you've got to have a little bit of knowledge on all of them. I enjoy it because I get to use all the other disciplines, and for me, that makes it fun and keeps it challenging, Peckham said. He added that even if students don't wind up owning their own business, they will make better employees because they understand how businesses work and that there are other aspects to business. Peckham grew up in Coahoma. He earned a bachelor's degree in engineering from Texas A&M University, took an MBA at the University of Texas at Dallas, and taught night classes at Midland College while working for Security Bank as its vice president of business development. At the same time, I was starting my own business, which is an investment practice, managing money for families. I did a doctorate with a concentration in behavioral finance from University of Liverpool in England, and I did that online from Midland. When I finished that, I went and taught 1 year at TCU in Fort Worth. I taught financial management, and then I taught a semester at Syracuse University in New York. That was online. I was adjunct for UT Permian Basin, and then I took the full-time position at UTPB. Peckham said he teaches because he loves it. I'm not looking for anything else but that. I started doing night teaching, and I just enjoyed it more than I ever thought I would, he added. Peckham noted that a lot of West Texans go back to school to improve their lives. Peckham is married and has two daughters. I love to help people improve themselves. I'm kind of constantly working on that myself, so I enjoy that aspect of it and just really enjoy being able to help people. And for me, this is an area where I feel like I can help people out. I've always been a numbers person. I enjoy business. If I was trying to help out in some other capacity, I probably wouldn't be as effective. To me, it's important to give back to the community that I feel like gave me so much, Peckham said. One of Peckham's students, Sarai Lara, plans to graduate with a degree in business management with a concentration in entrepreneurship in the fall of 2022. I honestly thought this was a great opportunity, Lara said. I feel like a lot of students are discouraged to start their own business because we have seen multiple crises in 2019 and the pandemic, so it is discouraging. But with this program, it really empowers us to pursue what we want to do. We were partnered up with mentors. My mentor was from New York, and she gave me the advice and encouragement to do this, Lara said. It was a great networking opportunity as well because I got to meet other students from different universities throughout the country. It's really powerful to be around people who are like-minded. When she was interviewed a couple of weeks ago, Lara hadn't launched her business yet. The reason I did the program was for the funding to start my business. Here in the Permian Basin, human trafficking is very common. We all have the awareness, the resources to help these women. So I would want to bring awareness and end the cycle of human trafficking through handcrafted jewelry. I would partner with Reflection Ministries, which helps survivors in the Permian Basin. It would essentially be a stepping stone for them. So while they're in the program, I would provide jewelry classes and they will have the opportunity to make some jewelry in it and essentially work part-time at my company, Laura said. She said the objective would be to restore dignity, self-confidence, and gain work experience, among other things. She added that it would also help them learn how to operate their own business.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 61 and clear. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 10 a.m.
This program is made available to the IAAIS Program Share and was recorded at the Audio Reading Service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Independent Living, and I'm your reader, Leslie, with the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from several health newsletters. The first one is from the Health and Nutrition Letter from Tufts University. And here's the News Bites column. Even half an hour of activity may help counteract dangers of sedentary lifestyle. An analysis of data from multiple observational studies suggests 30 minutes of exercise a day may help you live longer, even if you're otherwise sedentary. In this study, published recently in the British Journal of Medicine, researchers looked at data from activity trackers worn by 44,000 men and women, average age around 66 years, in the United States, Norway, and Sweden. Most participants were sedentary 8.5 to 10.5 hours a day and engaged in moderate or vigorous activity 8 to 35 minutes a day. More sedentary time combined with less active time was associated with higher risk of death. About 30 to 40 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity a day seemed to be enough to attenuate the association between sedentary time and risk of premature death. The physical activity guidelines for Americans recommend adults get 150 to 300 minutes a week, which is an average of 30 minutes a day, of moderate to intensity activity, such as taking a brisk walk or raking the yard, or 75 to 150 minutes a week, an average of 15 minutes a day, of vigorous intensity activity like jogging or swimming. While moving more and sitting less, in this study and many others, is associated with the best health outcomes, fitting 30 minutes of movement into an otherwise sedentary day may help you live longer. This next news bite, specific supplements bought online may contain dangerous ingredients. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has issued a warning to consumers regarding 46 specific weight loss and male enhancement products. Laboratory analysis of these products found active pharmaceutical ingredients not listed on the labels. Many of these hidden ingredients are approved for use by prescription only and could cause potentially serious side effects or interfere with other medications or dietary supplements. The products tested were purchased by the FDA online from Amazon and eBay. 20 of the 25 weight loss and male enhancement products purchased on eBay and all 26 of the products purchased from Amazon, some of which were designed as an Amazon choice or, quote, number one bestseller, contained potentially hazardous ingredients. This does not mean all products purchased on these sites are dangerous. The FDA buyers chose products that had names similar to tainted products that had been the subject of previous consumer warnings. Dietary supplements are not subject to testing and approval before going to the market. The FDA is unable to test every product for sale. Be on alert for products that offer quick results, which sound too good to be true, especially those promoted for sexual enhancement, weight loss, bodybuilding, sleep aid, or pain relief. And this next news bite, blood metabolites could predict your risk for cardiovascular disease. It turns out the old saying is true, you are what you eat. Foods we consume are digested and absorbed and then broken down into small chemicals or metabolites. The makeup of metabolites found in your blood depends in part on what you eat, and this metabolic signature may predict your cardiovascular health. A study published recently in the European Heart Journal found that certain metabolites were significantly associated with adherence to a Mediterranean-style diet pattern, and that higher levels of these metabolites in the blood were associated with lower incidence of cardiovascular disease. A Mediterranean-style diet pattern includes high consumption of fruits, vegetables, seafood, nuts, legumes, whole grains, and olive oil, moderate intake of wine, and lower intake of red and processed meats and sugary desserts and beverages. The scientists strengthened their findings by demonstrating an association between cardiovascular health and genes involved in metabolite production rate. This research strongly supports the health benefits of a Mediterranean-style dietary pattern. It also suggests a mechanism future nutrition research could use to analyze dietary intake that is more accurate than self-reported questionnaires. Perhaps more importantly, this metabolic signature takes into account normal variations in how individuals respond to diet, including genetics, the gut microbiome, and health status. Measuring metabolites in the blood may be the next step in personalized nutrition, helping us understand why foods are good or bad and how to modify our dietary habits to best meet our individual needs. This next article is called The Healthiest Fruits. Despite what you may have heard, all fruits are good choices. Some fruits are touted as superfoods and others maligned as unhealthy. The simple truth is that all fruits are health-promoting choices. Unfortunately, the majority of Americans do not eat the recommended daily amount of fruit, the equivalent of about 2 cups of fruit a day. Putting to rest some common misconceptions can help shift your focus from which fruits are the healthiest to how can I fit more fruits into my diet. So here's myth number one. Fresh organic fruits are healthiest. Fresh, frozen, dried, and even canned in 100% juice fruits are all good choices, whether they are organic or conventional. They all provide nutrients that are important for health, like fiber, potassium, and health-promoting phytochemicals such as flavonoids. Fresh fruits are a great choice, but frozen, canned, and dried fruits have a longer shelf life. They're available year-round and can be more cost-effective than fresh, which makes them an easy way to increase amounts and variety. Although fresh fruits are undoubtedly nutrient-rich, they are often picked before they are fully ripe and are susceptible to small nutrient loss during shipping and time spent on the produce aisle shelf. Frozen, canned, and dried fruits are allowed to reach peak ripeness and therefore peak nutrient content, and are typically processed soon after harvesting, so nutrient loss is very small, except for vitamin C, which is lost in dried and freeze-dried fruit. When choosing canned fruit, stick to varieties packed in 100% fruit juice. With dried fruits, watch out for added sugars, and be mindful of serving sizes to avoid overconsumption. For example, one palm full of raisins could equal a very large bunch of grapes. Organic fruits are grown using fewer pesticides, but there is no evidence that they are nutritionally superior to conventionally grown fruits. Scrub or thoroughly rinse conventional fruits to remove those most pesticides. So here's the myth-busting advice. Eat the fruits you like in a form that is readily available and you enjoy. Keep a variety of fruits in many forms, fresh, frozen, canned, and dried, on hand, and incorporate them into your eating pattern throughout the day. Read labels to make sure there is no added sugar. Be creative. Try sliced strawberries in a garden salad or frozen blueberries in your oatmeal. And here's myth number two. Fruit juice is just as beneficial as whole fruit. About one-third of the fruits we consume in the U.S. are in the form of fruit juice. Traditionally, 1 8-ounce cup of 100% fruit juice counts as one serving of fruit. For many nutrients, 100% fruit juices are comparable to whole fruit, but juice lacks dietary fiber and may fall short on phytochemicals found in edible skins. Without fiber, the sugar in fruit juice is more quickly absorbed by the body, which can cause spikes in blood sugar and increase risk for fatty liver. In addition, liquids tend to be less satisfying than solids, making overdoing it more likely. So while occasional 100% fruit juice is better than no fruit at all, whole fruit delivers a complete package as nature intended. And here's the myth-busting advice. Be sure to check labels so you know you're purchasing only 100% juice. Many products labeled fruit drink contain added sugars and colors. Aim for no more than one glass of 100% fruit juice per day and choose whole fruit over fruit juice when possible. And here's myth number three. Some fruits should be avoided because they are high in sugar. Certain fruits like bananas, grapes, and figs have developed a bad reputation because they are higher in sugar relative to other common fruits. The fact is, for healthy individuals, the amount of sugar in reasonable portions of any fruit should not be a problem. Even people with diabetes will not necessarily see a blood sugar spike from consuming a usual portion of sweet fruit. In long-term studies, all types of fruit have been linked to lower risk of weight gain and type 2 diabetes, says Dr. Darius Mazafarian, dean of the Friedman School of Nutrition Science. The benefits of the vitamins, fiber, and phytonutrients outweigh any concerns about sugar, he says. Keep in mind that any fruit has less sugar than a single serving of most cookies. Additionally, unlike cookies, even higher sugar fruit contains fiber, which slows the release of sugar into the bloodstream. So here's the myth-busting advice. Don't worry about the natural sugars found in a usual serving of whole fruit. The amount of sugar in any fruit is still less than the sugar in sweets and less than the combined starch and sugar in many alternative healthy snacks like energy bars or snack bars. Whole fruit is naturally packaged with fiber, nutrients, and plant compounds that may contribute to many health benefits, so enjoy all kinds of fruits in place of less healthy foods without fear. And here's the sidebar, take charge. Just a reminder to, number one, eat fruit. Keep a variety of fruit in all forms, readily available and visible. Fresh, frozen, canned, and dried fruits are all good choices. Number two, choose fruit over juice. 100% fruit juice is fine to consume once per day, but whole fruit contains fiber and intact cell structure, which slows digestion and helps keep blood sugar even. Number three, go for natural sugar. Even fruits that are higher in natural sugar still have less sugar than more nutrients than most packaged sweet or snack or alternatives. And number four, mix and match. Mix your fruit with salads, nuts, seeds, nut butters, or yogurt to add health benefits and slow digestion even further. And this next article is called Potatoes, Good or Bad? Potatoes get a bad rap for some good reasons, but they can be part of a healthy dietary pattern. If you are like most people in the United States and the world, you eat a lot of potatoes. The average American eats off over 100 pounds of potatoes a year, some baked, boiled, roasted, or mashed, but most in the form of fries and chips. Some shifts in how and how often we eat potatoes would be good for our health. So here's the bad. White potatoes straddle the line between vegetable and starch. Their high carbohydrate content may spike blood sugar, potentially leading to overeating, weight gain, and increased risk of diabetes and cardiovascular disease. There's research to back up these concerns. Here's the first point. In an observational study led by Dr. Darius Mazafarian, participants who increased their consumption of French fries over the 20-year study period gained an extra 3.4 pounds every 4 years. Those who increased intake of baked or mashed potatoes gained an extra 1.3 pounds. And the next point, in another observational study, eating potatoes 2 to 4 times per week was associated with a 7% higher risk for developing type 2 diabetes compared with eating them less than once a week. eating 7 servings a week was associated with a 33% risk. While all forms of potatoes, baked, boiled, fried, and mashed, were linked to increased diabetes risk, French fries appeared most problematic. This higher risk with French fries may be direct or indirect, with the fries serving as a marker for generally unhealthy dietary pattern. And now here's the good. Potatoes do have some positive nutritional attributes, says Nicola McCown, PhD and associate professor at the Friedman School and a scientist in the nutritional epidemiology team at the Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging. One medium baked potato with skin on can provide 30% of your vitamin C for the day and 25% of your potassium, plus a number of other vitamins and minerals. Relative to other plant foods, potatoes do not rank as a high-fiber food, says Dr. McCown. Even so, a baked potato with the skin on can supply 14% of your fiber for the day. Just keep in mind, though, you have to eat the skin to reap the fiber benefits. Potatoes are very high in a type of carbohydrate called resistant starch, or RS. This kind of starch promotes a greater feeling of fullness and helps control blood sugar rise after a meal, says Dr. McCown. While the type of resistant starch in raw potatoes is largely destroyed during the cooking process, chilling your potatoes after cooking, as you would for a potato salad, for example, increases the content of another form of resistant starch referred to as RS3. This type of resistant starch acts as a prebiotic that feeds beneficial gut bacteria. Different types of potatoes have been found to raise blood sugar levels to varying degrees. Instant mashed potatoes and boiled red potatoes, for example, may raise blood sugar more than roasted white potatoes or baked russet potatoes, according to the research. Due to the resistant starch, cold or reheated potatoes have the least impact on blood sugar levels. So here's what to do. The biggest problem with potatoes is how we eat and how many we eat and what we eat with them. Potatoes are the most consumed vegetable in the United States, and potato chips top lists of popular snack foods. Another problem with potatoes is how we eat them, covered in salt or doused in saturated fat-laden butter or sour cream, almost always without the fiber-rich skin. So we will see in a minute what else we can do. They give some suggestions for healthier choices after these articles are over. Different varieties of potatoes have somewhat different nutrient profiles. Purple, gold, and red fleshed potatoes have more phytochemicals than white and sweet potatoes, and yams are an excellent source of beta-carotene, which can be converted to vitamin A. But none of these tubers contain the same level of nutrients as non-starchy vegetables. Be aware that some supposedly healthier potato choices may not live up to their billing. Baked, low-fat potato chips have none of the healthy vegetable oil used to make regular potato chips, and all of the harmful starch and salt, says Dr. Marzafarian. Regular potato chips are not a healthy snack compared to other choices like nuts, veggie sticks, fruits, yogurt, and cheese with whole grain crackers, but at least they are fried in unsaturated, fat-rich vegetable oil, he says. If potatoes are a regular part of your diet, try moving away from the salty fries, hold the cream, sour cream, and butter, and reduce portion sizes, and move potatoes off the vegetable portion of your plate. Potatoes are a starch and should be considered equivalent to eating pizza or rice, says Mazafarian. Better yet, replace potatoes with non-starchy vegetables or whole grains. And here's the take charge sidebar. Try these tips for including potatoes as part of a healthy dietary pattern. Number one, consider potatoes a starch, not a vegetable, and eat them in place of other starchy choices like pasta and rice. Number two, avoid added salt and saturated fat. Cut potatoes into cubes, coat them in olive oil, and roast with herbs and spices like rosemary or paprika, and a little salt and pepper, or boil or microwave them whole. Keep the skin on and the condiments to a minimum. Number three, eat potatoes cold or reheated to boost resistant starch content and consume them in a healthy meal. Both will help minimize spikes in blood sugar. And number four, replace them. Consider a side salad or veggie instead of fries, nuts or fruit instead of chips, and roasted vegetables instead of baked potatoes. And moving on now to Consumer Reports on Health, a little newsletter. And here's the first article. Keep your blood pressure in check. Using proper technique can help you get your correct readings at home. Blood pressure readings are highly sensitive. Whether you're measuring it yourself or having it done at the doctor's office, seemingly innocuous activities such as talking and fidgeting can significantly change your results. If your doctor advises you to check your blood pressure at home on a regular basis, the following steps can help ensure that your readings are correct. Some may also be useful when you are at the doctor's office. Number one, make sure the cuff fits you. If you use a blood pressure monitor cuff that's too tight, the device will give artificially high results. If it's too loose, the monitor will underestimate your true numbers. Measure the circumference of your upper arm or wrist in the case of a wrist cuff. When you are shopping for a device, select a cuff that is labeled for your size. Number two, prep for testing. For an accurate home or doctor's office measurement, avoid exercising, smoking, or drinking caffeinated beverages beforehand. Wear a short-sleeve shirt. The cuff should be fastened around bare skin. You shouldn't roll up your shirt sleeves, which can constrict your arm. Use the bathroom before you start the test. Then sit quietly for at least 5 minutes before taking any readings. No talking or texting during the rest period or while you perform the test. Number three, sit in the upright position. The rules for getting an accurate blood pressure reading are the same at home as in a doctor's office. Take measurements while sitting in a sturdy chair with an upright back, with your feet flat on the ground. Sit at a table so that you can rest your arm on a flat surface. The cuff of the device should be level with your heart. Number four, don't stop at one. At home, take two or three readings at a time, a minute or two apart. Record the results unless your device does it automatically. Take the device or record of results to your next appointment. And number five, test the same time every day. Blood pressure fluctuates throughout the day. At home, take your readings at the same time every day, in the morning, before you take any blood pressure drugs, and before you go to bed. And here's a sidebar, how to pick an accurate home monitor. Not all home blood pressure monitors which take measurements via a wrist cuff or an upper arm cuff are equal. At Consumer Reports, we test blood pressure monitors for accuracy, comfort, and ease of use. We've found that upper arm cuffs tend to be more accurate than wrist cuffs. Before you start using a new device, take it to your next doctor's appointment so that your provider can make sure its results are the same as those from the office equipment that you know how to, and that you know how to use it correctly. Members can see our full ratings at cr.org/BPM. Here are two of our top-rated monitors, and they list the Omron, it's spelled O-M-R-O-N, Silver Blood Pressure Monitor, and it's from Amazon. Monitor is $50, and the overall score was 85. And the next one is the AND Medical Blood Pressure Monitor, and it's runs $45, and the overall score is 81. And we have time now for some of the questions that are sent in to ask the experts. And here's the first one. How can I change up my home workout so I don't lose motivation? And here's the answer. Try a live streaming exercise class on your smartphone, tablet, or computer, says Michelle Hart, MS, an exercise physiologist at the Duke Health and Fitness Center in Durham, North Carolina. Senior centers, YMCAs, and gyms offer them, and workouts from Silver Sneakers are free with many Medicare Advantage and supplemental plans. Contact the gym or instructor ahead of time to make sure the class is right for you and to see if the instructor can make modifications to meet your needs, Hart says. You can also explore YouTube videos, cable TV shows, or fitness apps. The next question is pork better for me than red meat? Pork, like beef, lamb, and veal, is a red meat, and higher intake of red and processed meat is linked to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and colorectal cancer. So it's wise to limit red meat to a couple of 3 to 4 ounce weekly servings, says Christine Rosenblum, PhD, co-author of Food and Fitness After 50. Some pork cuts, such as tenderloin and loin chops, are leaner than the others, so go for those when you want to eat pork. And here's the next question. What will the new Alzheimer's disease blood test tell me? Here's the answer. The prescription precivity AD, that's precivity AD test, does not diagnose Alzheimer's. It determines whether you have a low, intermediate, or high probability of amyloid plaque in the brain, which can occur in Alzheimer's disease by measuring two types of beta amyloid protein, checking for a gene variant like that hikes Alzheimer's risk, and considering your age. At press time of this article, the $1,250 test, which is not covered by insurance, was available but not approved by the FDA. Without this and a study in a high-quality medical journal, we don't have guidance about what the results mean and how they should influence treatment, says Rebecca Edelmeyer, Ph.D., with the Alzheimer's Association. And the last question. My face mask bothers my skin. What can I do? Here's the answer. Masks that are snug but not too tight minimize pressure and rubbing that can chafe, the American Academy of Dermatology says. Protect friction points like the bridge of your nose and the skin behind your ears with a layer of petroleum jelly or a skin protectant containing dimethicone, says Justin Endo, MD, an associate professor of dermatology at the University of Wisconsin. Clean your mask daily and vary the type that you wear, cutting back on products that can irritate your skin, such as aftershave lotion and retinoids, may help too. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Leslie with Independent Living, and I hope you've enjoyed today's readings from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Center Solutions Podcast, followed by the Noon Book Hour at 12.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Casa de Amigos are in need of volunteers for the tax season. Volunteers are offered training, no experience needed. The Casa de Amigos Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program offers free income tax preparation to individuals and families who make less than $57,000. For more information, call Alfredo Chaparro at 432-682-9701.
Now airing on the Noon Book Hour, a selection from our Western section, Under the Sweetwater Rim by Louis L'Amour. Deep in Indian country, Major Mark Devereaux and his men find a grisly scene. A wagon train savagely attacked with no survivors. One of the wagons originally with the group is missing. In it is a fortune in gold and Devereaux's daughter, Mary. The slaughter, Devereaux learns, was not the work of Indians, but of a murderous outlaw band. With the stakes rising in a deadly game, the only wild card is Lieutenant Tenador Bryan, who is riding with the missing wagon, against orders. Devereaux knows Bryan is a good soldier, but is he good enough to protect a saddlebag full of gold and the life of his daughter? Under the Sweetwater Rim by Louis L'Amour, weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye to let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know,
oh, I know
that the music's
yes,
fine like sparkling
oh,
wine. Go and have your
yes,
fun.
I know. Oh, I know.
Laugh and sing.
Yes, I know.
But while we're
oh,
apart, don't give your
yes,
heart to anyone.
Oh,
but don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling,
say
the last dance for me. Don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance,
you can dance.
Go carry you on
dance.
Till the night is
you
gone and it's time to go.
You can dance.
If he asks,
you can dance.
If you're all alone,
you can, dance.
Can he take you,
you
home?
Dance.
You must tell him no. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me.
Now here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 62 and clear. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy.